This morning is back to school Sunday. Kids are going back to school. Kids, where are you? Give me a big cheer, kids. I got some big kids in the audience, too. All right, big kids. But what about little kids? Little kids, you got a big scream for me? Come on, little kids. Elementary kids, say one, two, three, hey. One, two, three, hey! There you are. Great. Well, friends, Mission Vineyard, I want to welcome you this morning. My name is John Arelli. I'm the senior pastor. And this morning, we're going to honor kids. So if you're in elementary school, kindergarten, would you come up and just line up right here for me? And Gabby, you wait. She's in sixth grade. We're going to honor her in a different way. Are you elementary school kids? Do you know how much God loves you so much? God loves you so incredibly much. And he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Did you know that?
Yes.
So as you begin school this year, you don't begin without plan or purpose. You begin with God's love and with his plan and purpose on your life. So church, we're going to pray for them, but then we're going to send them out to be Jesus in their schools. To be filled with the Holy Spirit in their schools, to be filled with God's love in their schools, to be filled with God's purpose in their schools. Kemper, do you want to add? You guys, I want you to meet Kemper Pickney. Kemper, come on up. Kemper is our director of kids ministry. Do you want to say anything about these kids this morning?
They are our gifts. Every little one of them up there is our future. So they're in God's hands, and I know that God's doing big things in their lives.
So, church, would you extend a hand to these kids and let's pray for them this morning? Holy Spirit, would you come and fill these kids as we send them out to school? Would you bless them, God? Would you give them everything they need to succeed? And would you let them know how much you love them every single day? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now I want you guys to stay up there, but we've got a gift for you. These are our custom-made Post-it notes, and they say, Kids on a Mission, Mission Vineyard, have a great day. And kids, these are for you to give to friends, to give to teachers, to give to your parents who are having a rough day. And all you've got to do, you can draw a little heart on there, you can draw a jet with missiles flying out of it, whatever. And these are just encouragement notes that you can give away throughout the year because the Holy Spirit that's in you is not smaller than the Holy Spirit in adults. You are filled with God's mission. So here, take a post-it note. This is for you. Yeah, go ahead, Kemper. And I want you to stay up here. Now, what about junior hires? Any junior hires in the room? Sixth, seventh, eighth grade. Come on up. Come on up. Come on. Okay. All right. Raise your hand if junior high was the toughest years of your life. Okay. Okay, but junior high doesn't have to be. I'm stepping on yours, Elias. I'm sorry. Junior high does not have to be the toughest years of your life. Junior high can be the best. Junior high can be adventurous and amazing, and we want to help you get there. Church, these junior hires aren't in elementary school anymore. They're not going to be going upstairs. They're going to be here with you, partnering with you, ministering with you here. They're serving on prayer teams. They're serving on worship teams. They're serving greeting. These guys are here serving beside you. These are our junior hires. They're the ones we get to support. So we're going to pray for you guys, but we have a special gift for you because nothing I'm going to start crying. Maybe junior high was a little tough for me. In junior high, nothing is more important than being able to go back to God's word to sustain you with his identity. And so we've got special Bibles for you guys as you start junior high. And you elementary school kids, you get to start being on mission by praying for them. So why don't you surround them? Come on over here. And you guys, you can just put a hand on their shoulder. And we're going to pray.
pray for and commission these junior hires as they begin the year, okay? So let's pray. Holy Spirit, come, fill these junior hires as they begin their junior high, their middle school years. Would you give them everything they need and more? Would you secure their identity? Would you bless them with encouragement and your love? Would you show them how present and loving you are in the midst of their days? We bless them today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Have a seat.
This is my second time to come into the service. Maybe some of you have met me and some of you haven't, because I'm mostly upstairs. But my name is Kemper Pinckney, and God has called me to all of these special children. And I feel a little bit like Uncle Sam doing this. I want you. I don't want to say desperate, because God calls you. And I was told that someone at their kids' minister would just grab people from the service and drag them to serve. I promise not to do that. But I am praying that some of you will feel a call on your heart, even if it's a tiny little wink of a call. That's good enough. I mean, it doesn't have to be something you pray about for years. It's just to come up. I need people to hold babies. It's only 1 hour, I'm asking, out of your week. I mean, these amazing kids that you saw up here, it's so much fun. I'm not asking you to have to do a lot of prep work, a lot of, you know, take a lot of time out of your work week to get ready to serve. It's really simple, and it's so much fun. I know that John's going to be talking about how everyone can play and everyone can participate. It would just be a joy to me to look at that sign-up sheet and not see empty, 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 you know. I can't do it all, and Julio can't do it all, and Arlita is being called to some other things. And so I would ask you just to reflect. You don't have to sign up every week. Someone said, well, it says on there you have to be there at 9 o'clock. I'll take you at 9:30, okay? You don't have to come at 9. I need people that are excited to just love on little people. And that's all that you need, is just a heart to serve, and I'll help you with the rest. So thank you so much.
You guys, let's pray for Kemper. Just come back, Kemper. The truth is, the most important thing we do on Sunday mornings is minister to our kids. That's it. You all are nice, but the truth is, we're here for your kids. We really believe that the Holy Spirit in them is not smaller than the Holy Spirit that's in you. We believe that they actually make a change in the world. So as Kemper directs this ministry, would you just extend your hands this morning, and let's pray for her. We're going to do a lot of praying this morning. You're going to be tired. If you don't have shoulder muscles, you're going to get them this morning, okay? So, Jesus, we thank you so much for Kemper and the ministry she's leading. We bless the children's ministry, God, that they would get to know your word, that they would get to know how much you love them, and that they'd be sent out, God, to do the works of the kingdom. Bless Kemper, God, in all of her life, God, that you would sustain her in this ministry. And, God, we do pray for the right people to serve in the right places today, especially in kids' ministry. Bring the ones who just want to love these kids well. We bless this ministry in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. High school kids, I've not forgotten you. But I've got a special mission for you. High school kids, come on up. High school kids, come on up. And then, any teachers in the room? Teachers, stand up. Come on up. Teacher, come on up. Homeschool teachers, homeschool moms, come on up. Come on up, homeschool mom. Okay, high school kids, raise your hands. You've been around the block. You know what school is like, and you know what it takes to ruin a teacher. But you've not done that, have you? But you know how to bless them too, don't you? You know what they go through. And so you guys are going to be on mission today, practicing for what it means to be on mission this year. So teachers, would you come in right in the middle here? Homeschool teacher, come on in the center. And you high school kids, I want you to come around them, and I want you to pray for them. because you know exactly what it takes. So just lay a hand on their shoulder. Just come on. Don't be afraid. Just lay your hands on the, just put your hands on their shoulders, and let's pray for our teachers. Let's pray for our high school students as we send them out on mission. Church, would you extend a hand towards them, and let's pray for them this morning. Jesus, thank you for high school students who have been there, done that, and know what it takes to do the work of the kingdom in their classrooms. We pray for them, and we bless them this morning in Jesus' name. And as we bless them, God, we also bless our teachers. Our homeschool teachers, we are the ones that are daily and in and out investing in those who are in school. We bless them this morning in Jesus' name. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come and fill them so that they can do everything that they need to do this year. We thank you, God, for how you're moving in schools. God, we look forward to stories of blessing this year, that you would overwhelm the news with stories of blessing coming out of schools this year, that you would support and that you would take every student, every teacher through in safety, in security, but in blessing and in overflow, God, that they wouldn't be exhausted, but that they'd be encouraged. We ask for your love to be upon them and your empowerment in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so much.
That's the first time I've ever heard you ask a woman.
There you go. Homeschool dads, too. Sorry. That was awfully sexist of me. Well, one more thing this morning. I have not selected folks to collect for giving today. There are folks that often want to give in the service, and we want to give opportunity for that. But it's not just a thing. I just want to let you know, God doesn't need your money. And the church doesn't need your money. This is an opportunity to worship with money in a way that we... God leads us to defend against materialism and defend against all kind of ways that money just takes control of our lives. And so this is sort of our protest this morning. Anytime that a basket goes around, but it's also an opportunity for you who have welcome cards to put that in. If it really is a life changer as God leads you. But I want to pray, God, that every cent that's given would be in worship to you, that you would take care of any expense that the church has, as you always have. God, we thank you that you don't need our money, but that you give an opportunity for us to give so that our hearts can be changed. Thank you, God. We ask that you would change the world in Jesus' name. Let everything be to your kingdom glory. Amen. Pablo and Jared, would you guys serve this morning and send these baskets around? And as they do, there's a video that we have for you from a summer program that we had here at Mission Vineyard in partnership with the YMCA that said, hey, last year you did a backyard Bible study. Go ahead and send them around. We want you to do it every week this year. And we said we can't do it every week during the summer. But we can do it for 4 weeks. And so this is recessed in at the YMCA. There are powerful things that can happen when you get to know and love your neighbors. Another neighbor that we have, there is a picture there that got into the San Antonio Independent School District. And I want you to know about some other neighbors that we have. This is Principal Sparks. He is principal now of Lamar Elementary here in Mankey Park. And... I was excited to see him. And of Bonham Elementary, just south here of 35. Elementary schools here in San Antonio are being transformed in amazing ways. Principal Sparks is doing an amazing job. Our kids get to benefit from his leadership here at Lamar. But I wanted to pray for our neighborhood for just a moment. Because if we aren't meeting the practical needs of our neighbors, we're irrelevant. We partner not with Lamar Elementary, but with Rogers Elementary in providing 120 kids, I think it's going to be more this year, with weekend school supplies. Not school supplies, food packs. We've given them a whole classroom of school supplies, and if you want to donate more to that, you can, which they are psyched about. There was a teacher that passed away, and they just, in honor of her, they just collected a bunch of school supplies, so we're doing that. But Rogers Elementary also has at least 120 of their 750 kids that don't have enough food on the weekend. And so we partner with them. It costs about $17,000 a year to feed these kids.
we sneak food, just like an HEB bag of food, into their backpacks through their teachers every weekend, so that nobody else in the classroom knows that the kid's in need. And at home, some of them hide them under their house because their homes are such a mess that they're afraid that somebody might steal them in their home. Some of them hide them under their beds. But sometimes it's just a huge supply for the whole family. And so if you want to help with that, if you've got a Thursday night or a Friday morning free where you want to bring these bags around to the classroom so that teachers can put them in their backpacks, we do that every week. And we're starting next Friday, we're going to be doing that. It's just a practical way. Again, if we're not meeting the practical needs of our neighbors, we're irrelevant. So pray for Principal Sparks. There's a new principal at Rogers as well. Kids are always the victims of poverty. And so we always want to supply everything they need so that they can grow strong. Back to school Sunday, there's just a lot to pray for this morning. So we just want to bless the snack pack program this year, God, that you would bring the right people to serve on Friday mornings, Thursday nights. We bless all the teachers at Rogers and Lamar and Bonham, God, that you would just supply every need for those teachers. Thank you for Principal Sparks and the new principal over at Rogers. Thank you for their leadership, God. Sustain them. Yeah, that made it into the San Antonio ISD Facebook site. That was embarrassing. Anyway. Well, you get a short sermon today. Aren't you happy about that? Friends, everyone gets to play. And if you don't remember that from today, then I've done a very bad job. Everyone gets to play. Specifically, I want to tell you, each one of us has a purpose. It takes risk to discover how we get to play. Each one of these kids you saw this morning are going into a classroom as you have gone into work and you have said, I wonder what they'll think of me. Well, we had a president once, and he's known for one thing. And would you play that video real quick? On the bottom there, in the transitions. What did he say in this press conference? Anybody remember?
I'm not a crook.
I'm not a crook. The one thing that we know about President Nixon is that he wasn't a crook, right? No, we remember that he wanted to say that he wasn't a crook. We never knew President Nixon for his true purpose. All we knew is him defending against what he didn't want his name to be like. And I think so often we, like students, just worry about not being something. And that's not what God calls us to at all. He wants us to be something. He wants our activity and transformation in the church and with him to go out into the world and transform lives all over the place so that we're called something not by what we say we want to be known as or not known as, but we're known by our love. There was a church in Topeka, Kansas that was known this way. There were 13 families that said, you know, we in the church, we need to do something about what's going on in our city. And I think that we should do something. So they got together and they decided to register for school, which you'd think would not be a big deal, except they wanted to register for a school that was white. They wanted to register for a school that was white, and they were not white. And at the time, Topeka wasn't so fond of that. And so, the assistant pastor, Oliver Brown, said, let's all go register. And they went and registered. And wouldn't you know it, the Board of Education in Topeka, Kansas said no. And the case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And a ruling was made so that Oliver Brown's daughters wouldn't have to go to school, walking 7 blocks down the street, and then taking a bus for another 2 miles to a school that was wonderful, where the teachers loved them, but it was so far away, and none of the kids in their neighborhood, where the girls were actually playing with other kids, were at that school. They said, I want to go to the school 7 blocks down the street. 13 families got together in the church. They registered for school. The Board of Education said no, but the Supreme Court said something else. And since then, we know the case as Brown versus Board of Education. It was just a pastor trying to make a difference with the rest of the people in his church. Our schools today are still very much segregated because of the other policies that the United States has grown up with. Voter rights, red line districting. We've done a horrible job at segregating ourselves from one another. The church, especially, is the most segregated place on earth. But it doesn't mean we can't work together. So Mission Vineyard, everyone gets to play. As much as I can say, I want to lead our church to being multicultural and making a difference in the community, I can't do it without you. We need to do it. We need to do it. Now you may think, well, I'm just a peon. What does it mean for me to make a difference? Well, my trust is that the Holy Spirit has filled you in such a way, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you can lead, that you can have passions, that you can grow, that you can do amazing things. But it takes risk. It takes risk to go to a school on Friday morning and pass out bags and go around the corner and bless the teachers as they walk by and they thank you, and kids that go, snack pack. It takes risk to go after church today underneath the bridge at UTSA with the team and just give away bananas and water and pray for people who you don't really know. It takes risk to just sit and hear their story, to know the other. It takes risk to sign up for something in the church and say, I don't know if I can really be there regularly. I don't know. What difference does it really make if I'm there, if I say, welcome to the vineyard, if I let God use me in that way on Sunday mornings? What difference does it make? The difference is that God does have a purpose for your life, just like he did for Oliver Brown, just like he did for that church in Topeka, Kansas. God has a purpose for your life. And if God did have a purpose for your life, just wonder for a moment and ask God, God, do you have a purpose for my life? Do you really believe that? If God did have a purpose for your life, what would you change in your life in order to operate in that purpose? What would you sacrifice? For Oliver Brown, he sacrificed a lot. In fact, he sacrificed some of the last years of his life. It was only 7 years later that he passed away of heat stroke. He was a welder on the side. If God had a purpose of your life, what would you change in order to accomplish it? Because everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to play. There's one verse I want to share with you that's just hit me this week. And I want to make sure you've heard it. This is Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, brother of Simon, casting a net. So these brothers were just doing their work, simple stuff. Imagine yourself at work. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. John doesn't say that. Well, it hit me this week. It does. The whole sentence says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them. I'm sure he said the same thing. Follow me, and I'll make you. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired servants and followed him. These past weeks have been pretty difficult for me in me feeling like I've got my own purpose. You see, we went away for a while and we come back trying to figure out, okay, God, what does it mean for us to have this role in the church and in our community? What does it mean to bless my neighbor who's mowing crosses in my lawn? And I felt kind of purposeless. It's been really, really hard. And so God has settled me down, and he has said just a few things to me, and I want to share them with you. One is, I need you to be flexible. John, I need you to be flexible. If you're going to be operating my purpose, I need you to be flexible, which harkens me back to every missions trip that I've ever been on. If you can't be flexible on a missions trip, you will die in anger and sadness. John, if you're going to be operating in my purpose, I need you to be flexible. Give me an image of a book. If you've ever read any of the C.S. Lewis sci-fi narratives, there's a land that always moves, which the main character hated for so long until he had to sleep on the hard ground. And he said, oh, I wish I had my waterbed ground back. John, I need you to be flexible. If you're going to be operating my purpose, I need you to be flexible. John, if you're going to operate my purpose, I need you to be willing. I need you to be willing. Some of us aren't willing. Some of us don't want to be used. Some of us have our own track in mind. We're not really willing to be operating in the purpose of God. John, I need you to be willing. And then the third thing he says, John, I need you to let me make you. If you're going to be operating in my purpose, I need to make you into the purpose that's necessary for where you are, when you are. I have loved Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr., a guy named Tony Campolo has been one of my just mentors in my mind. I want to be like them so bad. And God told me just this past year, John, you can't be them. I already have them. I need you to be you. In order for the purpose that I have for San Antonio in this year, I need you to be you. But you need to be flexible. You need to be willing. And you need to let me make you. So here Jesus is, and he's taking these guys that are operating at jobs that their family has probably had for centuries. They're probably really good at it. These guys were not picked up by a rabbi. They were not the smartest tools in the shed. Otherwise, they would have been operating with another teacher in that day and age. They would have been in school. They would have been in college. So they went back to their family work because that's where they were at, and they weren't the best. And Jesus just walks by and he says, follow me and I'll make you. Now tell me, friends, how many times have you felt like you didn't have what it took to do your life? Like you weren't schooled enough, you didn't have the energy, you didn't have the capacity, you weren't talented enough? Jesus says to them, follow me, follow me, follow me, be flexible, be willing, follow me, and I will make you. This is the confidence that gives us the energy and the capacity and the drive to say that everyone gets to play. Because you, here in this room, these kids that were standing up front, have all the capacity that the world needs for it to be transformed if they would just follow Jesus. So I want to tell you, as I'm telling myself, friends, all you need to do is follow him. And he will make you into everything that you need to be. Each one of us have limitations. We struggle even sometimes getting up in the morning. Each one of us have dreams that we haven't accomplished yet. We all want to be someone or look like someone for somebody else. Friends, Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you. Now, Paul goes on and he confirms this in his own scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So I could ask you today, hey, what advice would you give to your elementary or middle school or teenage self? What advice would you give to yourself 5 months ago? And we could seep in that for a long time and all get depressed. And Jesus says, hey, you who weren't picked up by the rabbi, who didn't get into school, you who were disappointed about who you are compared to everybody else in the village, you who don't feel like you really have what it takes to do life well, follow me and I'll make you. If you're in Christ, you are new creation. Old is gone. Let's just let old be what it was. Let's ask Jesus to heal all the wounds that it ever created. And let's let him be who he wants to be. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The scripture says, the new has come. I will make you is here today. Jesus, the one who says, I will make you, is here today in this room. And he says even more. He says this whole process of new creation, this gifting, that all you have to do is follow me and I'll make you whatever you need to be for today. All this is a gift from God, it says in verse 18, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task, reconciling people to him. So now it's not just the job of receiving this for ourselves, but it's also a going out. Telling everybody else, hey, you know that pressure you put on yourself, that drive that you don't have, the disappointment that you always feel because you're not whatever is on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram pretty? I want to reconcile you back to God. Jesus is here and he's saying, don't worry, I'll make you everything that you need to be. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Let him make you all that you need to be. It's too hard to feel like you've got to be enough. God's not asking us to worry about being enough. God's asking us to follow him. God's asking us to follow him. I'm going to ask for just a little permission just to wait. It's something that we often don't give ourselves, but I feel like God asks of us a lot, is just, would you wait and just listen to me for a moment? And so I'm cheating a little bit because I'm doing it in front of you, but would you just wait with me and let's just ask God how he's speaking right now, and I feel like he is wanting to say something specific. God has gifted us with his purpose. A blessing that he gives us everything we need in order to be who we need to be every day. Not needing to compare ourselves against anybody else. But that takes a relationship. And some of us don't have relationship with Jesus. Some of us have beliefs, but those beliefs haven't sustained us. Some of us have great beliefs. You know creeds from when you were little that are so strong and good. But when you try to get up and walk, and there were a couple of guys praying this morning for you, and as they were praying, they saw somebody kind of standing on the ice and disillusioned because their beliefs weren't helping them navigate life. Some of you are in that place and you've got great beliefs, but they're not sustaining you. What you actually need is relationship. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we don't do this very often. In fact, not often at all. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus that's really making a difference in your life today, I'm going to ask you to stand today. If you've never given your whole life to Christ, surrender. Now, he's here. He's saying, follow me. I'll make you everything you need to be. I'll make you a new creation. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to make that prayer your own. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He's worth giving your life to. If he's worth anything, he's worth everything. If that's you today, would you stand? Would you just be bold this morning? If your faith, if your beliefs haven't been doing what you need them to do, would you stand? If you want to follow him. Friends, your boldness today encourages everybody else because none of us feel like we've got enough. So thank you for standing. Would you pray with me today? Jesus, everything that I've had before hasn't been enough. I've had great beliefs, or maybe none at all, but I need you, God. I need relationship with you. I need you to tell me that everything that I need in life comes from you, and I need you to give it to me. I need you to give me everything I need. I want you to make me a new creation, that you would forgive all of my past, and that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me new, that you would heal everything so that you would send me out into the world with love and encouragement that doesn't come from me, but it comes from you. I want to be filled with your purpose, Jesus. All of us, let's stand and say this prayer together up on the screen. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Those of you who stood proud, would you just raise your hand? And would you say, I receive that gift. And I bless you right now in the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with God's purpose on your life. Be filled with an energy and an amazement for life that only He can give. Be filled with the presence of Jesus that tells you that you don't have to look like anything. You just have to be in relationship with Him. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit. Be with me forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There are powerful things that can happen when you get to know and love your neighbors. Another neighbor that we have, there is a picture there that got into the San Antonio Independent School District. And I want you to know about some other neighbors that we have. This is Principal Sparks. He is principal now of Lamar Elementary here in Mankey Park. And I was excited to see him. And of Bonham Elementary just south here of 35. Elementary schools here in San Antonio are being transformed in amazing ways. Principal Sparks is doing an amazing job. Our kids get to benefit from his leadership here at Lamar. But I wanted to pray for our neighborhood for just a moment, because if we aren't meeting the practical needs of our neighbors, we're irrelevant. We partner not with Lamar Elementary, but with Rogers Elementary in providing 120 kids, I think it's going to be more this year, with weekend school supplies, not school supplies, food packs. We've given them a whole classroom of school supplies, and if you want to donate more to that, you can, which they are psyched about. There was a teacher that passed away, and they just, in honor of her, they just collected a bunch of school supplies, so we're doing that. But Rogers Elementary also has at least 120 of their 750 kids that don't have enough food on the weekend. And so we partner with them. It costs about $17,000 a year to feed these kids. We sneak food, just like an HEB bag of food, into their backpacks through their teachers every weekend, so that nobody else in the classroom knows that the kid's in need. And at home, some of them hide them under their house because their homes are such a mess that they're afraid that somebody might steal them in their home. Some of them hide them under their beds. But sometimes it's just a huge supply for the whole family. And so if you want to help with that, if you've got a Thursday night or a Friday morning free where you want to bring these bags around to the classroom so that teachers can put them in their backpacks, we do that every week. And we're starting next Friday, we're going to be doing that. It's just a practical way. Again, if we're not meeting the practical needs of our neighbors, we're irrelevant. So pray for Principal Sparks. There's a new principal at Rogers as well. Kids are always the victims of poverty. And so we always want to supply everything they need so that they can grow strong. Back to school Sunday, there's just a lot to pray for this morning. So we just want to bless the snack pack program this year, God, that you would bring the right people to serve on Friday mornings, Thursday nights. We bless all the teachers at Rogers and Lamar and Bonham, God, that you would just supply every need for those teachers. Thank you for Principal Sparks and the new principal over at Rogers. Thank you for their leadership, God. Sustain them. That made it into the San Antonio ISD Facebook site. That was embarrassing. Anyway. You get a short sermon today. Aren't you happy about that? Friends, everyone gets to play. And if you don't remember that from today, then I've done a very bad job. Everyone gets to play. Specifically, I want to tell you, each one of us has a purpose. It takes risk to discover how we get to play. Each one of these kids you saw this morning are going into a classroom as you have gone into work and you have said, I wonder what they'll think of me. We had a president once, and he's known for one thing. And would you play that video real quick? On the bottom there, in the transitions. What did he say in this press conference? Anybody remember?
I'm not a crook.
I'm not a crook. The one thing that we know about President Nixon is that he wasn't a crook, right? No, we remember that he wanted to say that he wasn't a crook. We never knew President Nixon for his true purpose. All we knew is him defending against what he didn't want his name to be like. And I think so often we, like students, just worry about not being something. And that's not what God calls us to at all. He wants us to be something. He wants our activity and transformation in the church and with him to go out into the world and transform lives all over the place so that we're called something not by what we say we want to be known as or not known as, but we're known by our love. There was a church in Topeka, Kansas that was known this way. There were 13 families that said, you know, we in the church, we need to do something about what's going on in our city, and I think that we should do something. So they got together, and they decided to register for school, which you'd think would not be a big deal, except they wanted to register for a school that was white. They wanted to register for a school that was white, and they were not white. And at the time, Topeka wasn't so fond of that. And so, the assistant pastor, Oliver Brown, said, let's all go register. And they went and registered. And wouldn't you know it, the Board of Education, Topeka, Kansas, said no. And the case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And a ruling was made so that Oliver Brown's daughters wouldn't have to go to school, walking 7 blocks down the street, and then taking a bus for another 2 miles to a school that was wonderful, where the teachers loved them, but it was so far away, and none of the kids in their neighborhood, where the girls were actually playing with other kids, were at that school. They said, I want to go to the school 7 blocks down the street. 13 families got together in the church. They registered for school. The Board of Education said no, but the Supreme Court said something else. And since then, we know the case as Brown versus Board of Education. It was just a pastor trying to make a difference with the rest of the people in his church. Our schools today are still very much segregated because of the other policies that the United States has grown up with. Voter rights, red line districting. We've done a horrible job at segregating ourselves from one another. The church, especially, is the most segregated place on earth. But it doesn't mean we can't work together. So Mission Vineyard everyone gets to play. As much as I can say, I want to lead our church to being multicultural and making a difference in the community, I can't do it without you. We need to do it. We need to do it. And you may think, well, I'm just a peon. What does it mean for me to make a difference? Well, my trust is that the Holy Spirit has filled you in such a way, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you can lead, that you can have passions, that you can grow, that you can do amazing things. But it takes risk. It takes risk to go to a school on Friday morning and pass out bags and go around the corner and bless the teachers as they walk by and they thank you, and kids that go, snack pack. It takes risk to go after church today underneath the bridge at UTSA with the team and just give away bananas and water and pray for people who you don't really know. It takes risk to just sit and hear their story, to know the other. It takes risk to sign up for something in the church and say, I don't know if I can really be there regularly. I don't know. What difference does it really make if I'm there? If I say, welcome to the vineyard. If I let God use me in that way on Sunday mornings, what difference does it make? The difference is that God does have a purpose for your life. Just like he did for Oliver Brown. Just like he did for that church in Topeka, Kansas. God has a purpose for your life. And if God did have a purpose for your life, just wonder for a moment and ask God, God, do you have a purpose for my life? Do you really believe that? If God did have a purpose for your life, what would you change in your life in order to operate in that purpose? What would you sacrifice? For Oliver Brown, he sacrificed a lot. In fact, he sacrificed some of the last years of his life. It was only 7 years later that he passed away of heat stroke. He was a welder on the side. If God had a purpose of your life, what would you change in order to accomplish it? Because everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to play. There's one verse I want to share with you that's just hit me this week, and I want to make sure you've heard it. This is Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, brother of Simon, casting a net. So these brothers were just doing their work, simple stuff. Imagine yourself at work. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. John doesn't say that. Well, it hit me this week. It does. The whole sentence says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them. I'm sure he said the same thing. Follow me, and I'll make you. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired servants and followed him. These past weeks have been pretty difficult for me in me feeling like I've got my own purpose. You see, we went away for a while and we come back trying to figure out, okay, God, what does it mean for us to have this role in the church and in our community? What does it mean to bless my neighbor who's mowing crosses in my lawn? And I felt kind of purposeless. It's been really, really hard. And so God has settled me down and he has said just a few things to me, and I want to share them with you. One is, I need you to be flexible. John, I need you to be flexible. If you're going to be operating my purpose, I need you to be flexible, which harkens me back to every missions trip that I've ever been on. If you can't be flexible on a missions trip, you will die in anger and sadness. John, if you're going to be operating in my purpose, I need you to be flexible. Give me an image of a book. If you've ever read any of the C.S. Lewis sci-fi narratives, there's a land that always moves, which the main character hated for so long until he had to sleep on the hard ground. And he said, oh, I wish I had my waterbed ground back. John, I need you to be flexible. If you're going to be operating my purpose, I need you to be flexible. John, if you're going to operate in my purpose, I need you to be willing. I need you to be willing. Some of us aren't willing. Some of us don't want to be used. Some of us have our own track in mind. We're not really willing to be operating in the purpose of God. John, I need you to be willing. And then the third thing he says, John, I need you to let me make you. If you're going to be operating in my purpose, I need to make you into the purpose that's necessary for where you are, when you are. I have loved Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr., a guy named Tony Campolo has been one of my just mentors in my mind. I want to be like them so bad. And God told me just this past year, John, you can't be them. I already have them. I need you to be you. In order for the purpose that I have for San Antonio in this year, I need you to be you. But you need to be flexible. You need to be willing. And you need to let me make you. So here Jesus is, and he's taking these guys that are operating at jobs that their family has probably had for centuries. They're probably really good at it. These guys were not picked up by a rabbi. They were not the smartest tools in the shed. Otherwise, they would have been operating with another teacher in that day and age. They would have been in school. They would have been in college. So they went back to their family work because that's where they were at, and they weren't the best. And Jesus just walks by and he says, follow me and I'll make you. Now tell me, friends, how many times have you felt like you didn't have what it took to do your life? Like you weren't schooled enough, you didn't have the energy, you didn't have the capacity, you weren't talented enough. Jesus says to them, follow me, follow me, follow me, be flexible, be willing, follow me, and I will make you. This is the confidence that gives us the energy and the capacity and the drive to say that everyone gets to play. Because you, here in this room, these kids that were standing up front, have all the capacity that the world needs for it to be transformed if they would be given, if they would just follow Jesus. So I want to tell you, as I'm telling myself, friends, all you need to do is follow him. And he will make you into everything that you need to be. Each one of us have limitations. We struggle even sometimes getting up in the morning. Each one of us have dreams that we haven't accomplished yet. We all want to be someone or look like someone for somebody else. Friends, Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you. Now, Paul goes on and he confirms this in his own scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So I could ask you today, hey, what advice would you give to your elementary or middle school or teenage self? What advice would you give to yourself 5 months ago? And we could seep in that for a long time and all get depressed. And Jesus says, hey, you who weren't picked up by the rabbi, who didn't get into school, you who were disappointed about who you are compared to everybody else in the village, you who don't feel like you really have what it takes to do life well, follow me and I'll make you. If you're in Christ, you are new creation. Old is gone. Let's just let old be what it was. Let's ask Jesus to heal all the wounds that it ever created. And let's let him be who he wants to be. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The scripture says, the new has come. I will make you is here today. Jesus, the one who says, I will make you, is here today in this room. And he says even more. He says this whole process of new creation, this gifting that all you have to do is follow me and I'll make you whatever you need to be for today. All this is a gift from God, it says in verse 18, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task, reconciling people to him. So now it's not just the job of receiving this for ourselves, but it's also a going out. Telling everybody else, hey, you know that pressure you put on yourself? That drive that you don't have? The disappointment that you always feel because you're not whatever is on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram pretty? I want to reconcile you back to God. Jesus is here and he's saying, don't worry, I'll make you everything that you need to be. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Let him make you all that you need to be. It's too hard to feel like you've got to be enough. God's not asking us to worry about being enough. God's asking us to follow him. God's asking us to follow him. I'm going to ask for just a little permission just to wait. It's something that we often don't give ourselves, but I feel like God asks of us a lot, is just, would you wait and just listen to me for a moment? And so I'm cheating a little bit because I'm doing it in front of you, but would you just wait with me and let's just ask God how he's speaking right now, and I feel like he is wanting to say something specific. God has gifted us with his purpose. A blessing that he gives us everything we need in order to be who we need to be every day. Not needing to compare ourselves against anybody else. But that takes a relationship. And some of us don't have relationship with Jesus. Some of us have beliefs, but those beliefs haven't sustained us. Some of us have great beliefs. You know creeds from when you were little that are so strong and good. But when you try to get up and walk, and there were a couple of guys praying this morning for you, and as they were praying, they saw somebody kind of standing on the ice and disillusioned because their beliefs weren't helping them navigate life. Some of you are in that place and you've got great beliefs, but they're not sustaining you. What you actually need is relationship. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we don't do this very often. In fact, not often at all. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus that's really making a difference in your life today, I'm going to ask you to stand today. If you've never given your whole life to Christ, surrender. Now, he's here. He's saying, follow me. I'll make you everything you need to be. I'll make you a new creation. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to make that prayer your own. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He's worth giving your life to. If he's worth anything, he's worth everything. If that's you today, would you stand? Would you just be bold this morning? If your faith, if your beliefs haven't been doing what you need them to do, would you stand? If you want to follow him. Friends, your boldness today encourages everybody else because none of us feel like we've got enough. So thank you for standing. Would you pray with me today? Jesus, everything that I've had before hasn't been enough. I've had great beliefs, or maybe none at all, but I need you, God. I need relationship with you. I need you to tell me that everything that I need in life comes from you, and I need you to give it to me. I need you to give me everything I need. I want you to make me a new creation, that you would forgive all of my past, and that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me new, that you would heal everything so that you would send me out into the world with love and encouragement that doesn't come from me, but it comes from you. I want to be filled with your purpose, Jesus. All of us, let's stand and say this prayer together up on the screen. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Those of you who stood proud, would you just raise your hand? And would you say, I receive that gift. And I bless you right now in the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with God's purpose on your life. Be filled with an energy and an amazement for life that only He can give. Be filled with the presence of Jesus that tells you that you don't have to look like anything. You just have to be in relationship with Him. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit. Be with me forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.